Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Some kids have and some kids don't, and some of us are wondering
why. And Mom won't watch the news at night, there's too much stuff that's making her cry. We need some help down here on earth. A thousand prayers, a million words, but one voice was heard.
Get to the third verse.
Mom and Dad still believe the golden rule.
Golden rule, Jack. I'll think about it. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. 590 The Fan, KFNS. 105.7 HD2 FM. InsideSTL.com. Timothy Michael McKernan, Douglas Sullivan Vaughn, Ben Fredrickson with you on the radio program. Feel free to call in 855-282-8255. Already got a great call from Big Al. Kind of led to a good discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And we welcome you to text in as well and email in for the Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. When the Plowhawk's out there doing a commercial break, having a cigarette break, that's brought to you by Salt and Smoke, Doug. The smoke breaks are sponsored.
Okay, that's good.
The great Tom Ackerman, who's kind of a thorn in the side of everybody.
Prickly.
Really just a bleep disturber is
what
I like to call him.
Thank you. I saw he retweeted a forecast for this afternoon with a full satellite image of Missouri, getting an idea of what the visibility will be for the eclipse. And this gentleman says shows more clouds to the north and northeast, less to the south and west. So, Doug, maybe we're going to get a good view.
Okay. I'm not looking up.
Wait.
I'm not.
I am, with no glasses.
Oh, okay. Good
You're
luck
tough.
To you,
You're
buddy.
So tough.
Good luck to you, buddy. Said it can even damage
so hard.
Your cameras. If you point your camera right at it and try to take pictures, it might damage that, I heard. Oh, this is dangerous stuff, fellas.
Don't you have a welding mask, Doug?
Well, of course.
What
I do.
About that GIMP mask Cucky gave you?
I think that'd be
mask.
Fine.
I do
if you took a welding mask and wore your other mask underneath it. What's it called again?
Why don't we go out a shrub? Why don't we go out... And have, like, the Plowhawk. Well, you know who looked best in the GIMP mask was Larry.
Oh, my God.
And have Larry just, like,
man
where
on the
there's
street.
A bunch of people gathered looking up. And then we, like, have the Plowhawk with, this is how the show works. We come up with asinine ideas, and then they actually play out. And then have, like, the Plowhawk shoot video of Larry looking up at the sun in the GIMP mask next to a large gathering in downtown St. Louis. You pan out, Doug. Here's the scene opener. The Gateway to the West, which is the Gateway to the Best.
The best.
Football team.
Right.
And then you pan down and you see a group of people, and then you tight shot sequence editing.
Sure.
J school. Sequence editing of people with mouths agape.
Sure.
Agape?
Yeah. Agape.
Is it?
Agape.
That's why I was. Is it agape?
Yeah. Agape.
With mouths agape?
That's not it. That's probably how you say it in Spanish.
And then a tight shot on the person next to Larry, and then we open up the shot, get a little wider, and there is Larry standing up.
Going to have to get a lot wider.
Wearing a GIMP mask, staring at the sun.
Preferably without
a
shirt
on. I think right there we just won an Emmy.
Right.
We just won an Emmy.
Pretty good plan. You wouldn't even know who it was, because when Larry puts on the mask, you don't know who it is.
He's like a luchador.
Right.
Have him wear his James Dean shirt, you know him, sitting with a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't see his face from the GIMP mask. But there he is on his T-shirt.
And we put the glasses on with the GIMP mask?
Yes.
The 3D glasses with the GIMP mask?
I would hope.
Why didn't we think of this earlier? Because in order to get Larry from Alton to another region, it takes like a week of planning.
Yeah.
You have to have like a GoFundMe page.
He did have a ride home with the Ballsack family again.
How'd that go for him?
Well, fortunately for you, we have an audio postcard.
Oh, I figured we might.
And if we have to dump out of it, some of the stuff is... It was a gray area of if you could or...
Always err on the side of caution.
I think we're good. But if
Doug,
you
it doesn't
find
sound
it,
confident.
No. If you find it too vile, then we have a dump button. We can stop
so
it.
So what was going on? Who was working blue?
Oh,
Mrs. Balsack.
Mrs.
Really?
Sack. Yes.
Yeah,
she
was
snootful, isn't she?
Reading the comments, though, so, but if you didn't know that.
So she wasn't working blue. She was simply just reading what was in the prompter.
Yeah, but she was definitely went blue there for a while. The comments were ridiculous, so you can take a listen.
Was there an MMF?
I don't think it ended up to
think,
be
an... I don't think Larry could have done anything.
This was the most wasted.
No feeling.
He sounds like somebody that is possessed by a demon who also smokes four packs a day. It's pretty... I've never heard Larry like this, all so right. It's quite
well,
interesting.
That's what happens when a predator Doug senses an MMF is it within range.
Yeah. He pounces. His voice. Pounces. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to have to yell drop out of this. This is high risk audio postcard.
Larry, everyone thinks you're really drunk.
Well, tough.
I miss your sexy body.
Thank you. And if Mrs. Scott, Mingo Ballsack, wants to give me a kiss.
Oh, no.
And she wants to.
When I play with myself, I think about Larry Nickel. Yeah, you were going to use the whipped cream, weren't you?
Yeah, you and you alone.
Oh, only me.
Yes.
Can I lick your anal hole?
No!
God!
No! No!
Right there, I'm going to try.
Go!
Right there, right?
Cut. Let it go!
What in the... Who was like, no, that's fine?
I thought that was okay.
Now, Sea Monster did the editing. I listened
He's
to
sneaky
it.
Sneaky vile!
Sea Monster? You went to the Jason Barrett School of Poverty in Broadcasting. You know better than that. In fairness, you sent over the weekend. I don't pay attention to stuff over the weekend. F. Doug, do you listen to all the audio sent over the weekend?
I don't listen to it.
I got to be honest. I listened to it. I thought it was fine. I to give it the green light.
Well, there's a thing I've talked about on the show before. You can say damn, but you can't add God to it. I don't know why. I just know these are the rules. And you can say but or ass, but you can't add hole. Now you can say that's a nice hole, Bill, like a compliment.
You're talking about golf.
Right, because that went in front of the Supreme Court.
That did, that case?
Justice,
that's a nice
Justice
hole,
Warren.
Bill?
Yep, Justice Warren said nice hole, Bill's good.
It's a lengthy par four with some water on the left side. That's a nice hole, Bill.
They don't like the, what do they call it? That's the organization that says what you can and can't say again. The FCC, right? They don't like body parts.
Yeah.
They got a thing against body parts.
There's a thing with that. But I was watching The Wolf of Wall Street on Saturday, and it was like on FX. We'd come home, and I had had a nip of the cooking sherry. So I was kind of sitting there like, blah. And I'm like, oh, I'll watch this. And I noticed that they were saying, yes word, yes word. And I looked over at my fetus, and I said, earmuffs, you know? Because I'm like, how am I going to explain that to him?
Well, it's going to be hard when he's about 4 or 5 years old.
Because like American Dad went from Fox to TBS, and they said more edgier episodes. And edgier means they're dropping S-bombs during American Dad.
They go like, what's a big deal? But they still bleep out the F word.
Yeah, but you can say S.
I wonder what that's about.
I don't know.
Doug, do you know what that's about?
No, it's about some people still find that offensive.
Yeah, but the S word is in, but the F word is not. And I don't understand, like, why?
I don't know.
Well, I want to apologize, but I think you heard from that little part, Larry was trashed.
It sounds like Larry when he's like 80.
Whoa.
Like with a voice box. Future. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Scott Sprinkled Ballsack with some thoughts, Doug. The missus did a good job of navigating through the comments. Believe it or not, she kept it pretty clean compared to what it could have been.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a bunch of our drunk audience just sitting there typing comments to an attractive woman on a car ride to Alton?
So it got worse than that, Plowsy?
I didn't witness the Facebook.
I think that was the worst that could have been said.
Yeah, I mean, we can continue or not, but
no, I don't think we should.
Oh, it's gold.
You can't just say anything. You can't do it.
I thought Larry had a great night Thursday at the event and obviously with this post video with the Sack family.
Yeah.
Family Sack.
They got him home all the way to Alton. They drove him.
But they live on the Illinois Peninsula.
They live on the Isthmus of Panama.
That's right. I mean, I've lived here 40 years, 40 Hall of Fame years, Ben. And I had no idea we had a peninsula.
I didn't either. No.
Apparently we do.
What is a peninsula again? Is that where it goes up and then gets flat for a while and then goes back down?
No, that's like a butte.
Is that a mesa? Mesa?
Like it's a strip of land that jets out into a body of water. Like Florida would be an example, an obvious example.
What is
Doug, is Maine a peninsula to you?
No.
Mm, what about Baja California?
That I believe that is the Baja Peninsula.
Yeah. Mm.
There's nothing about it. It's just the way it is. It's the way the land was carved out.
Stephen Wildwood says he met the Balsack couple. They couldn't be nicer.
Okay,
sounds like he's making a play.
Nice to have, you know, he wants in on some of that.
I introduced them to, what's her name, Cassie, the blonde?
Doug Cassidy. She was with Vivid Video in the mid-1990s.
I don't know the
From
dates
Denver,
either.
Dark hair, blue eyes, very attractive.
I don't know who she is.
Have a problem
the
with.
The cute blonde with the librarian glasses.
Callie, I think it is.
Callie, oh, good job. Yeah, introduced Callie and her husband to the ball sack.
You just walked her over there and said, look, hey, I've never met you before, you guys but you got to meet these wrinkled folks.
I said, somebody wants to meet you.
And what happened from there?
I don't know. I left.
Were they in the whip with Larry on the way home?
I don't think
that would,
so.
That would be a tell, Doug. Well, I think the ball sacks live on that peninsula up north. And then I think Cassidy Callie lives south. But I think it's worth it. A nice meeting spot maybe at the Four Seasons near the Arch.
Well, I knew I messed up when I heard the rebroadcast. And she had texted in to you during the show and said she liked Ray Ray's Tatas. Mm. I thought she said,
Doug, do you remember
Callie.
That? When you listened to the rebroadcast on Friday, did you
never listen to a rebroadcast?
And
ever.
I thought she wanted Callie's Tatas, so I introduced her to Callie, but it was actually Ray Ray. She liked her boobs.
Ray Ray.
Now, Ray Ray was a little spitfire.
She was a spitfire.
You were all worried about Ray Ray, and then she turned out to be fun.
You know what she wound up being? A delight. She was a delight. No question on that. And the other thing that I thought was interesting from Thursday night was that most of the women were legitimately not into women. Like, they weren't lying to me when they said they weren't. I could tell they weren't.
Don't you think most women aren't into
women? Most women in their 20s in the United States have at least explored sapphic play.
I don't know.
Gallup poll.
It's not a Gallup poll just because you've asked three people and they said, I did. That doesn't make it a Gallup poll.
Thanks, Iggy. Good people there. Same goes to Steve. Awesome gent. That's from Scott's Wrinkled Ballsack. You like that gent?
It's okay. Not necessary.
Yeah, the wrinkled ballsacks are like now the target of the audience.
It's not going to end well. Lord. I was in on this from the ground floor saying it's not going to end well.
You called that shot. You shorted that action right out of the gate.
Mm. They have their pick of the litter.
Yeah. Boy, for now. They're nice riding high
pick.
Now.
It's a nice
talk to you in 2 years.
It's like going to the Playboy Mansion.
He's gonna get cucked by one of these guys on the fan page. It's gonna be bad news.
The pick
curious
of the litter of our audience.
Talk.
Oh my.
I just did a DP.
That's hot, man. That's hot. It's great when a listener from the peninsula of Illinois hooks up with a listener from Herculaneum. It's hot.
This show brings people together.
It does.
Man. It really does.
It does. See? Who says North and South St. Louis can't get along?
Yeah.
Well, the peninsula of Illinois and in Jefferson County are getting together, and they're making things happen at Hot Shots and Fenton. God bless America.
In these times of political turmoil, it brings my heart great solace to log into the fan page and see people from all backgrounds and walks of life posting vile things together in unity.
We had a chick from Festus. I think that's the first time we've had anybody from Festus on the show.
Big night. Big night.
I mean, that's Hoosier country.
She won't be back.
What about Crystal City? Is that better? Because they are twin cities.
They are twin cities, like St. Paul, Minneapolis?
Similar, right. Yeah.
Guys, I'm out. They're half my age. That's from Steve in Wildwood.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that's a damper.
He's excusing himself, and he's waiting for them to respond by saying, no, you're still in. We have the pick of the litter, and you're part of the litter.
I didn't see that play. I'm disappointed in myself.
Now, someone on the fan page said that Steven Wildwood looks like Travis Ford.
Doug, did you notice it?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty remarkable. There's a photo.
Swope did that.
Buck Swope, brother.
Posted a picture of the two.
That Buck Swope was right there for all the action. I mean, right there.
He always is. And then the photos go where?
Oh, right
on
the internet.
What's the point? Do they go on your website?
They go on InsideSTL.com, and they also go on the fan page.
Oh.
And people love it. How can you not love Buck Swope?
Well, a nice enough guy. I don't know why his camera needs to be everywhere, including on the floor with Jay.
He got a great overhead shot.
Did he?
Did he get, from Jay's point of view, did he get a POV?
Ooh, POV scene.
Like put a GoPro on his head?
That would have had to have been staged.
That would have been something.
POV scene.
Anywho.
We are both yelling like idiots. Thanks, Stephen Wildwood. What does it mean?
In the photo, comparing him to T4.
Doug, you enjoy that, that Barstool Chicks podcast.
I don't listen to any podcasts.
And
Who is it? Who is it that
don't
I
don't take a listen?
So
it's intern
much?
Rhea, and I can't think of what the other one's name is.
Fran.
Priscilla? No.
I think she's a young 20-something.
Tarkenton?
Oh, yeah, maybe it is.
He's probably the best-known Fran. Fran Huck. Remember him with the Blues?
No.
You don't? Yeah, he's a pretty good player.
So I have great news. As you all know, I was very worried the Jersey Shore reunion was just a Burger King commercial. Turns out they're doing an actual reunion this Sunday.
I'm excited, but I'm kind of disappointed because it's not everybody. All I want is Ronnie and Sammy together, and we're not getting it.
It's just Polly, Mike, Snooki, and JWoww.
You can't have it all.
I need the drama. The Ronnie and Sammy was my favorite part of Jersey Shore.
When Sam is on the bed and Ronnie's literally taking the bed and flipping her off of it.
Run!
Stop!
I need it.
I don't know how I've missed it. I don't know how that's not a podcast that I'm listening to every day.
Run!
Stop!
I need it.
That is right up my alley. That aligns perfectly with my interests.
I didn't even know there was a Jersey Shore reunion. Is this already aired? Nurse?
I think next Sunday I saw.
It'll just going to go up heads up against the Game of Thrones finale.
Should That's go well. Yeah.
I think, let me tell you something here. I know nobody's talking about it, but that's the whole point. Ray Donovan's like 3 episodes in.
I know.
I haven't even watched the 2nd, 3rd episodes. Why? It's straight up against Game of Thrones.
I saw commercials for it. Was it on the Cardinal game last night?
They were advertising Ray Donovan on Cardinal games?
I believe so. I saw it somewhere.
I don't think the best fans would necessarily like Terry Donovan.
I caught up on the first 2. I didn't watch last night's yet, obviously. I DVR'd it, but. So I can't ask you any questions because you've only seen...
On the front.
It's pretty good.
The Buggy Whip in Palm Springs. Last time I was there, I went home with a guy named Jose.
Iggy, the people of Festus and Crystal City are not happy with you. They are texting in. Doug, are you surprised we have listeners in the...
Well, we had the one gal said she was...
She was fine, too, man. She legit fine.
A nice gal.
Iggy has some nerve calling us Hoosier Country, coming from the traffic cone with bleach blonde hair. You look like tan mom, you orange creep. That's from the Crystal City Clam Hammer.
Well, it doesn't make me a Hoosier. Look, I dated a chick from Festus. She came over to the house in mid-July with a coat and a pair of boots on.
Why? Because she was heading up north?
Yeah, because she's from Festus. She thought it looked good, even though it's July.
What kind of coat?
It's some... big old leather thing, and then she had on a pair of black boots with her tie-dye jeans tucked into it.
Oh, it's so cute!
No, it wasn't.
How'd you meet this Festus filly?
It's Hoosier on the Admiral, I think.
I don't even know what that means.
It was a boat, Doug, and it went up the Mississippi and down the Mississippi.
Yes, the Mississippi. The Admiral was a huge boat that we used to have. We used to have a kind of a thriving riverfront.
Was that the one?
You had the McDonald's boat.
Yeah.
You had the Becky Thatcher, and you had the Admiral.
The Huck Finn was
the old Huck Finn.
Yeah.
The Admiral, you could bring your own booze.
Really?
Yeah.
And now, as I understand, we have absolutely nothing on the riverfront. There's not a single boat.
Some bodies floating around.
The cat's jeep is still in the river.
Yeah. You almost lost it there. But there's nothing on the riverfront.
That's good for the fishermen.
That soccer stadium will tie things together, though.
Guys, I'm in on the ball sex. I would like to do both of them. That's from Grimy from South County. So another proposition. This is great.
Morning, cuties.
There's going to be a flotilla of vehicles on their way looking for the peninsula of Illinois. Somehow thinking they have a chance with a couple wrinkled sack.
House wrinkled sack. Doug, take it from your boy. Those Jeffco broads can trap you. Thanks, manchild 79.
Can trap you.
Man, I like that.
Right there at the Admiral, they got you.
This guy's ball sack. Why don't you give me a kiss?
Oh, my God.
Trying to sound like Joe Namath on the sideline.
Yeah, that's Susie Colbert and Namath.
Yeah.
God, what in the hell happened to him?
That was the same quote, I think. He's quoting Namath.
Let me hear that again there, Plow Padre.
Bingo ball sack. Why don't you give me a kiss?
That's what happens when you do a sports talk radio show.
Right. Right.
Happens to the best of them.
I don't think she did either.
She did not give him a kiss?
I don't think so.
Probably.
Why don't you give me a kiss?
So Iggy dates one messed up skank from Festus, one of many skanks notched on his Oompa Loompa bed, and he decided she represents all of Festus. That's from Mrs. Jannie Shanahan. You go after Festus, they're going to come after you, Iggy.
Right, here they come.
Well, prove me wrong.
How? How can they prove you wrong?
I guess they would have to send him a gorgeous woman who is not wearing coats in the winter.
I've been to Festus.
That's the only way he'll stand down. If you provide a gorgeous woman who will marry me and be awesome.
I stopped at a gas station in Festus.
How was it?
Well, there were four bikers there. Again, this is in July because I was dating this chick in the summer. Mm. Leather jackets, jeans, boots, chains hanging. I mean, it's July. It's 95 degrees outside.
You can see people like that everywhere.
You can't ride
Festus, you do.
You can't ride a hog in shorts.
Clip that off.
You can't.
What do you wear to ride a hog?
Well, you gotta have a pant, preferably something a little thicker that can take a little bit of a road rash,
and a leather jacket too, because you might. Well, if you fall, that's gonna really help.
Boy, they're coming in, Doug. They're coming in fast and furious. Coming from a guy that bowls religiously, still hangs on to his 70s haircut, and decorates his apartment patio with trinkets like an 80-year-old single cat lady, Iggy has no room to talk about anyone being a Hoosier. That's from Pinkleton, guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, why is that Hoosier? I don't decorate my patio with nice lawn chairs and furniture and an umbrella and a hummingbird feeder. That's not Hoosier. Maybe gay. It's not Hoosier.
Iggy is basing modern-day Festus on some white he banged back in 88 that he met on a boat where he smuggled in his own mad dog. Thank you. It's from the St. Peter's Lemming.
Well, you don't smuggle it, and they let you bring your booze.
Nice.
Where's the Admiral now, Doug? Why don't we go on that for a remote?
I don't know. I don't know what happened to it. Didn't it go down to Kimswick or something? One of the boats, I think, went down to Kimswick.
Nice. It kind of dry docked wherever it went.
Mm. Docking.
Yeah. So there's not a single big boat down there anymore.
Mm-mm.
We've done a lot with that riverfront here. We are a city on the move. Every other big city that's on a huge river has all kinds of stuff going on the riverfront.
Give me an example of
Cincinnati.
One.
Cincinnati's got a great looking riverfront. Memphis has tried. We're going backwards.
Give me an example.
Well, I just did. I just gave you Pittsburgh.
Oh, Missouri plays Missouri State in 2 weeks.
There's got to be something to do with that riverfront. There's got to be something you can do to perk that up a little bit.
Water park?
The million or so people go to the arch every year.
Sure.
You give them something to do on the riverfront, maybe they'd stop and do that too.
Well, bring the McDonald's boat back.
I agree.
There's nothing Americans love more than McDonald's.
Right.
Lure them to the water with carbohydrates and fat and grease. That's right. The way to do it.
Yeah,
bad idea.
I'll lure them in. Well, I'm not going to spend my money to try to make something happen there. So
but
maybe
just
I should
complain about it. Yeah,
about it.
That's all you do.
Doug, I can still taste you on my lips. That's for Mr. Felch. He participated in the trivia contest.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now that was a Hoosier. You can see that immediately.
We're just really into labeling today.
Right.
We are. Just give me a kiss.
Identity politics.
Apparently, Doug wants there to be a city garden down by the river, even though he didn't know what city garden was, and we already have one. You put something nice on the river, you wouldn't even go.
Probably not. Probably not, no. But there was a time when lots of people went down to the Admiral for parties. A lot of them did. But that's going back to the 70s, though, isn't it, Iggy?
Yeah. What was the scene like there, Iggs?
What was it like?
Well, they had three decks, three different bands. The top deck was usually the rock band. The middle deck was usually Bob Cuban. So depending on what kind of music you liked, you could go.
Where did you go? Did you go up and down, or did you stay on one deck?
I went to the very top deck where there was nothing but making out.
Really?
Yeah, that was
the
fourth deck was where you go up there. I usually spent my time, to be honest, on the bottom deck, which had the
poop
brig.
Deck.
That was the brig. I got thrown in the brig more times than I'd like to remember.
They had a jail there?
Yeah.
So what, do they let you off after the chip docks
in? Once it docked, they let you
off. And how did you get sent to the brig? What would you do if you got a little too handsy or something?
No, I would bitch about, because they would only give you a certain amount of Coke and, or whatever spirit. You know,
wow,
you had your
so that was out in the open.
But I would say, you know, and they would serve beer. So I tried to get two buckets of beer, and they only gave you one. And I said, no, we have a table of six. I need two buckets. You get one. And I started bitching and yelled, and they threw me in the brig. Another time I got caught stealing somebody's bourbon off their table. They
Why
threw me
you
in the
do
brig.
Because
we were out.
Oh.
So the table was dancing. I just walked by and took their bourbon, and then I got caught, and they threw me in the brig. So
I got to suggest you kick my ass.
And by brig, was it actually a jail cell?
It was a cell, and you had to go down there until once the thing docked, then they went. And I always got thrown in like right at the beginning of the night, so I was down there for like 3.5 hours.
Hmm. And has this happened to you more than once?
Probably 3 or 4 times.
Well, didn't you ever learn that maybe I should behave myself so I don't spend my money and waste my night sitting here in prison?
I had a temper back then.
Did you really?
Not really. I would just have a few drinks, then I would get pissed off. And I didn't like authority, so if somebody said I couldn't have two buckets, I would say I need two buckets.
Is that where you got the name Angry?
No.
Doug, some good history on this eclipse that you're going to ignore today?
Yeah. I'm not going to look at it.
Since ancient times, humans have looked up at the sky with both reverence and fear. When the United States experiences a total solar eclipse Monday, many astronomers expect that it will evoke a sense of awe, excitement, and even unity. Hmm. You think the country is going to be united by the
eclipse? No. I think for a minute and a half, everyone will go, oh, this is cool. And then when it's over, they'll start yelling at each other again.
But it'll bring us together.
No.
Imagine that you didn't understand what an eclipse was and the sun disappeared from the sky unexpectedly, plunging the daytime into darkness. In ancient China, people would bang drums and pots to shout to scare off the dragon that was eating the sun. So in ancient China, they would see the sun go away and they thought a dragon was one of Khaleesi's dragons was eating the sun.
Yeah. Well, they weren't always that bright.
In ancient times, every culture had a sun god, and it was usually one of the chief gods of their whole pantheon. Humans couldn't touch what's in the sky, so they believed it must be where the gods are. Mm. When you have a total solar eclipse, it looks like the death of a god, and to them, that couldn't be a good thing. Mm.
Well, they were wrong about that.
Not necessary.
It was just the moon going in front of the sun there once. That's about all it was. Really nothing more to it than that. No special meaning. None. No dragons. No. Just the moon going in front of the sun just for a minute or two. That's about all it is. But you could see how they would be confused by that.
It wasn't a good thing for kings back in Mesopotamia, as you know. Between 2300 and 18 BC, it was an omen across the Mediterranean. If there was a solar eclipse, the king would die. For societies dominated by kings, it seemed like the worst possible outcome. Okay. To avoid such a fate, thought to be possible within 100 days of the eclipse, the king would abdicate and live in the palace as, quote, the farmer, end quote. A condemned criminal would take his place and die within 100 days, usually by assassination, fulfilling the prophecy.
Yeah, the king wanted the job back.
It was the first Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Mm-hmm. He was in Mesopotamia. Who knew?
Right.
And then the farmer would resume his rightful place on the throne and all would be well again.
It wasn't maybe interpreted as a sign you had the wrong king. Just, hey, let me step out of the office.
Let me ship this guy out.
Put this guy in for a week.
How could they do all this when they wouldn't have known it was coming?
They knew it was
coming.
Because
they saw the dragon come to eat the sun.
They knew it was coming. The Aztecs could predict these things. They studied the stars.
Yeah.
Astronomy.
Sure.
That's what you do when you don't have Twitter and Instagram. You actually learn stuff.
We haven't had one here since 79, I think is the last one. So that's been how many? Almost 40 years?
Cardinals were in train conductor hats.
And so the people back then, before they had books and things that you could pass along knowledge, most of them didn't live to be 40 years old, much less be smart enough to have half an understanding what was going on at that time. And yet they would still be able to predict exactly when this was coming.
Oh, you bet. Stone tablets, passed down word of mouth. They had their act together.
40 years, we're going to get a minute and a half of darkness, so we better change everything we're doing. Really.
You betcha.
All right. I think most of the people back then were just scrambling to stay alive.
Well, that's all we're
doing.
What
was the average lifespan in Mesopotamia in 1800 BC? Do you know? What do you think it was?
I would guess 30-something.
You got to factor in all the human sacrifice. That brings down your average quite a bit.
Yeah.
They were lopping people's heads off left and right and let their blood run down the steps to the sun gods.
They still do some of that.
Really?
No, they don't.
Well, some of the terrorists do.
That's not what we're talking about.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, Doug's going to take this where he wants to take it, Ben.
I expect if you lived much beyond 30, you were probably doing pretty good back then.
Really? It's like they couldn't open up a Brio.
Yeah, Brio didn't come about till much later, till life expectancy expanded to like in the 70s.
Doug, there was an eclipse when I was in the 8th grade, 1994. Shut up. Mm. That's from the 303. It's a 303.
Oh, well, I guess there's different kind of
I do eclipses. Remember an eclipse when I was at the university high school,
yeah.
But it wasn't a total eclipse, I don't believe.
Okay.
What was the last total eclipse? 78, 79?
Doug just said it, 79. 80?
79.
I wasn't listening.
Welcome to the program, Iggy.
Well, when he actually started trying to rebuke the dragons and they knew about this, I just kind of phased out.
All right, sorry to bore you. Kind of bored myself with it, really. You got to say something. It's a three-hour show, so sometimes we just kind of keep talking. We don't know what we're saying.
In 5th century B.C. Greece... 5th century B.C. Greece. Okay, so 1,500 years ago. The philosopher Anaxagoras sought to understand and describe eclipses, not as something eating the sun or the will of the gods, but through an understanding of physics in the natural world. For example, he proposed that rainbows were a phenomenon of sunlight bending in rain instead of being caused by the goddess Iris.
No, good for him.
Oh, I bet they took to him very well.
And he doesn't play
he
well.
He figured it out. Oh.
I mean, hell, what was it, just like 350 years ago, Galileo got shipped, didn't he? Am I right? Nurse? Nancy? Chasey? Lane?
I don't know.
What, did he get shipped?
Sounds about right.
It's like longer than that, but maybe it could
I think
be.
Ben's placating me, I do.
I don't know. I don't know anything about history.
Today, well, he's known as the first to correctly explain eclipses were just the sun casting the shadow of the moon on Earth. But the Athenians took him to trial and charged him with impiety. Impie.
That's a serious crime there.
Treasonish.
Sacrilege, and he was sent to exile for the rest of his life.
Right, because he figured out what causes the rainbow 2,500 years ago.
I think 1,500, so let's get our
facts. You said B.C. You said 500.
No, in 5th century.
B.C.
Yeah, you're right. I take it back. Now I'm sentencing you to death.
Okay.
Thus, his idea about eclipses, including lunar eclipses, wasn't widely known. And that spelled disaster for the Athenians during the
Peloponnesian.
Yeah. Have you read the story?
Well, yeah. At some point I did.
In 413 BC, when the aristocrat Nicias was leading an expedition to capture Syracuse, Jimmy Boeheim in his tournament.
That's right. Actually where he got the idea for the zone.
On the coast of Sicily, a lunar eclipse occurred just as the Athenians realized that they could not win and had to retreat. Huh. What a bad beat.
Wow, yeah.
Total one-outer.
Sure.
Nicias saw the eclipse as a bad omen and delayed the fleet's departure. Seizing the opportunity, the Syracuse Navy destroyed the fleet of 200 ships and killed or enslaved the 29,000 Athenian soldiers, and Athens surrendered. Wow, wow, wow.
Mm.
I'll tell you, keep an eye on these eclipses.
Right.
Galileo was not murdered, but he was under house arrest for a long portion of his life.
And when did he live?
Oh, that was back in the 1600s, yeah. Mid-1600s, Doug.
400s.
Old Tom Morris had already won a couple British Opens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Tim was right on the number, pretty much.
Well, he said 300 years, and it was 400.
He said 350, baby. 350.
Uh-huh. Well, if you're going that far back, you have a 100-year window.
Okay. Where's my gong?
You said it was way before that, so...
Almost broke the goal.
Right, so
look
give
look
the
at this picture Buck Swope just posted on the fan page, capturing Larry. I mean, that looks like Rock Hudson at the pool.
Yeah, it does. Really does.
Look at that.
He keeps himself in fine shape.
And right over, and you don't even realize it. It's like a picture you got to study, because right over the cigarette proper are the ball sacks. Like on his mind, except it actually was captured perfectly. Right. That Buck Swope is no joke. Brilliant. Sea Monster's already liked the picture.
She's looking at him longingly, I think.
I noticed that.
Wow.
Take off your pants, Larry.
Okay.
There are levels to that picture.
There are levels, Ben. You're right. Yeah, he's got a lot of picture of the ball sacks. Now I'm looking through this.
Yes, MMF. Yes.
They're just so happy to be off that damn peninsula. That's all they want to do. Just get off this island.
Why don't you give me a kiss? Mm-hmm.
Doug, so shut up and don't you ever correct him. Thanks, Fred Astaire.
Run!
Stop!
Stop! Run.
Stop!
I need it.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Yeah, Jericho's starting to hit the ball a little bit better. Had a home run last night, a couple of hits. Fowler just missed a two-run tater there in the first, and he gets thrown out at second instead of two runs.
I thought he was safe.
I did, too. I don't know why they didn't review it, because he certainly thought
immediately.
He was safe.
And then I saw the replay, and I'm like, okay, it's one of those things, because these guys, they make a mistake, and then they immediately point to the manager. That's like become a thing. And I'm like, oh, he probably was out, because they were talking about throwing well and on the SportsCenter highlights I was watching. And then I saw the replay, and I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty damn sure he was safe. The tag didn't get up until, like, near his neck, so he'd slid past, but they didn't review it. And one of the theories on SportsCenter was they didn't have the replay capabilities that they normally would have in a major league ballpark.
The Cardinals did not challenge it, which was surprising.
Yeah,
and makes you wonder.
Did you think he was safe?
It makes you wonder if they didn't have a way to.
Right. That's.
And
what I'm
I don't
saying.
Know that. I just that's if they couldn't run down there and look at it again, maybe they didn't want to try it.
That little league ballpark cost this.
Oh, there you go. Yep, you're on it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Little league manager. Jeez.
There goes our division crown. Just like that. Darn it.
Bob Dernier.
Center fielder. Phillies. Cubs.
There's only one division race where the first place team has ended up at least five games, and that's right here in the National League Central.
Mm-hmm.
Brewers are two back, Cardinals three and a half back. I don't, it's a weirdest thing. I'm curious how you feel about it, Ben, because I know you didn't like grow up locked in, nerding out on Cardinal baseball as much as I did, Doug. But in a, quote, normal year where the Cardinals are 3.5 games back, I'd be like, gotta be watching the score. And I'm just like, I can't, the standings of them being 3.5 back, which is great when you're in late August, can't overwhelm or supersede, I suppose, just the knowledge that they're just not really good. And so I can't like con myself into going, oh, if they can just get in, they can do damage. At the same time, if you were to ask me on August 21st of 2011, if the Cardinals could just get in, they could win, I would have never said yes to that either. But when you look at that lineup, just line it up next to the 2017 Cardinals and also the rotation, it's clear, at least to me it seems, it's clear that the 2011 team is a better baseball team. And I feel like a lot of Cardinal fans feel that way, but I don't know if that's, and I'm not saying it in a negative way, it's a, if anything, it's a great thing, I think. I don't know how it can't be. That we've been so fortunate to have such a run of success that's approaching two decades. I mean, even with years that didn't go to the postseason, they were competitive. And as I, you know, mentioned, one of the great outlier statistics, an anomaly, that a team that didn't make the postseason, the 2003 Cardinals, the one team that didn't make it from 2000 through 2006, actually had more wins than the team that won the World Series. The 2003 team had more regular season wins than the 2006 World Champions. You look at it and you go, well, maybe fans are just like what we saw happen in Atlanta when they went on that run where people weren't even really showing up to NLDS games because they came to expect them. But I always thought that was more about Atlanta being more of a transient city as far as the makeup of its population as opposed to being spoiled. Sports teams in Atlanta, at least at that time, and I don't know if it's changed now, Falcons with their success, but they... people don't grow up. A lot of people don't grow up in Atlanta. They move to Atlanta. In St. Louis, so many people live here, and they don't really move away from here. So it's part of your life. But I just don't feel like there's a lot of enthusiasm for this, quote, pennant race, even though the Cardinals, I mean, within, you know, 10 days, were tied for first. And I think that's more because of an acknowledgement by the majority of the fan base that, yeah, it's just not really a good team. You still want them to get in. Because, yeah, we've seen them surprise people in the playoffs before. 2006, I think, was a bigger surprise than them winning a series in 2011, even though they're up against a much better team in the 2011 Phillies. So how do you view the fan reaction from all of the pieces you write on the Cardinals in this 2017 Central race?
I think there are factors to it, one of which is that it's not very often the Cardinals are behind a team in the division in terms of expectations either. So the Cubs being the Cubs and winning last year has created this sense of pressure and kind of angst that hasn't been around in a long time. The fact that this team is kind of a continuation of what we saw last season in terms of some of the frustrating aspects, yeah, that feels like it hasn't just been one season, but a combination of two seasons. And also, you know, I think people are not thrilled with the style of play that this team has had at times. And it has improved, but you also, you know this team has holes and they didn't do anything to go outside to make it this team better. So you're kind of looking at the same different iterations of the same team. Yeah. So really what is sitting there that makes you go, okay, these guys are going to fire out of the gate at some point. You had the rally cat thing. And that to me was the first time it felt like, okay, people are in. And look, well, that momentum is gone. I mean, if that was, you probably saw a stirring, you did see a stirring of it there. I mean, people are not, if this team goes on a run, they're not going to knock it in. They just haven't seen enough yet to feel like, okay, this is really it. And the rally cat episode was probably the first time that people really felt like, okay, they might be about to do
an
something.
Incredible moment.
Right.
Because of not just the cat, but what happened like 10
exactly.
seconds after.
And it was, but it wasn't able to be sustained. So now I think people are kind of back to the point of, well, what are they doing? They can't beat teams in the division. I mean, they have the worst winning percentage of any NL Central team.
Yeah, but the Central is the toughest division.
Well, then you're not going to make the postseason. I mean, until you can beat the teams in your division, you're not going to win the division race. They haven't seen any proof that they can do that. I mean, when you get four against the Pirates, and the Pirates have been terrible heading into that, they're on a long losing streak, and you go out and split the series, that doesn't really inspire a lot of confidence. And now you got some significant issues with your starting rotation, which has been the reason that you're even in this spot.
For me, as a fan, the Rosenthal injury, I feel like, is the most difficult to overcome. And that's when I was thinking, okay, because from my standpoint, yeah, the lineup's kind of blah. But once you have a closer doing what Rosenthal was doing there for a couple of weeks, then it sets up the bullpen. And we saw what the Cardinals were able to do once they set up the bullpen. And now that that's out, I mean, who's the guy you turn to in the ninth? I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure they know, and by that, they know who they would go to tomorrow night against the Padres if it's a save situation. But the confidence level isn't there. And that's the thing, and I've made a reference to this the last few weeks. The 2006 Cardinals closer in August was different than the Cardinals 2006 World Champion closer in October, and the 2011 Cardinals closer in August was different than the 2011 World Champion closer in October. But I don't, whereas you can see, I think you could see, maybe I'm wrong on this, Wainwright having the kind of stuff to do that and Mott having the kind of stuff to do it. I don't know who I see in the bullpen right now on the roster where you go, that's the guy who can replace that. And then therefore, not only do you have starting pitching issues now with what's going on with Wainwright and Leake, but you also have the back end of the bullpen that's chaos.
I think I would go with Tyler Lyons at this point. I think he's been about as sharp as anybody. And Brebby is a good pitcher too. I mean, he had the one little problem in Boston. Other than that, he's been awfully tough.
As much experience as Lyons has, he doesn't have much experience trying to come in as a closer and save games. I mean, he has, three saves, I think, his whole career.
Well,
and not saying he can't do it.
Hadn't been given the chance.
But you got to, I mean, some guys, they're just not built for it. And we can talk about, well, he projects to be good at it and all these things, but some guys either have it or they don't. We're going to find out if he does. I don't know that Brebby is the one they're going to bank on. And the reason I say that is because it wasn't when they did have to bring him in after they had to pull Rosenthal out that game. They had him do that weird thing where they're asking him to take a lot of time between his pitches. Mm-hmm. To me, if you think the guy can be a closer, you don't ask him to mess with his delivery. You see, you put the ball in his glove. You say, go get it.
Yeah.
You don't say, hey, can you go out there and, by the way, try to do this little cheat code that maybe makes it easier. I mean, you just say, go get it done. And they weren't able to do that with him. So I don't know if he's going to be that guy.
Well, I think you're going to have to trust one of those two guys.
Well, yeah, you don't have no choice.
I don't think O has got it going well enough right now to put the game in his hands either.
Something we forget about is, you know, where would Alex Reyes have been by now? Because even if he wasn't, if he was going to be kind of the guy who was the starter, he probably would have had some starts by now. But he also could have been a guy at this point that you maybe moved to that role. So, like, I just think we forget the guy exists because he's out. who knows what kind of impact he might have had on this season with the bullpen being the way it was. Because the rotation has been pretty good. Now you're seeing some drop off there. But if he was in the bullpen all year and it could now be moving into the rotation, it's a totally different thing.
I just think right now I'd give it the Lions. And just the fact that he hasn't done it before, I mean, he's a big boy. He can handle it. I mean, no one else is handling it right now. So give him a shot. Almost every closer had to try it at some point. I mean, none of them.
Sure. Hardly and the Cardinals have found success with those guys before.
Hardly any came up through the minors as closers. Just give him the ball and see what he can do.
It's disappointing that O is not looking like he can step into that role. Because there was a time when he was dominant last year, and now he just looks eh. They've figured him out.
Well, don't say eh.
That's what he looks like.
All right. Yeah. Well, you would think that it wouldn't be impossible to still make some kind of deal. I see other teams making deals still. And you're pretty desperate right now for some pitching. At least in the bullpen and maybe even another starter.
You're desperate.
You're just glad that the starters are falling apart because you were hammering the table calling for starters at the deadline.
Were you?
I was.
Doug was.
I don't remember that.
He was always, no, you really were.
For starting you're pitching?
You're saying your starting pitching is never deep enough. They feel like they're good, but you need more. That's he was saying that.
There is truth
called
to that,
shot.
But I don't know who I was saying that they should have traded for as a starting
pitcher.
Well,
that
pitcher.
Didn't matter. You were
that
just calling for it.
That was still their strength up until the trade deadline.
I guess they got to see what Flaherty can do at some point. And Weaver can come in there. But the problem is, it's impossible to say, look, the reason they're here is because they're starting pitching. And then expect Weaver and Flaherty, if he comes, to come in and give those same kind of results. I mean, I think Weaver can be a good pitcher. I certainly think his last start was really, really good. But he's not going to come in. I mean, everybody wants to put Adam Wainwright in the grave. And certainly when when he can't throw above 85, there's a problem there.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy still leads your team and wins, and he still has the best win percentage on your team. Now, we can talk about the accuracy of the win stat or whatever, but that's still the point of games. And he's got the most of anybody. So losing him for a significant amount of time is a bad deal for this team.
The Cardinals will have to play some good baseball over the next few weeks because barring a large surprise, the Cubs are not going to be losing much ground. Between now, which is the 21st, and September 7th, here are the Cubs' opponents. 3 with the Reds, 3 with the Phillies, 3 with the Pirates, 4 with the Braves, 4 with the Pirates. Hello again, everybody.
Mm-hmm. So you think they'll just steamroll through that group?
You would have thought the Cardinals, though, would have better success against the Pirates.
Well, the Cardinals
knew that it would be
Reds.
Tough with Boston, even though they didn't have to face the good pitchers from the Red Sox. That's an incredible lineup. And, you know, Rick Hummel said that last week, and he just kind of dropped it in there casually, and I agree with him. And I think maybe this is why Cardinal fans aren't, feeling the pennant race, so to speak, is it's crystal clear that at this moment, the Boston Red Sox are in a different class than the Cardinals. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's just the way that it is. But they're in a different class than the Cardinals, not only with the lineup, but with at least they have one pitcher who, if you're in a best of five series, he's, Godspeed beating Chris Sale, although the Yankees got him this week. So we've been lucky enough to see championship caliber teams, not just the 06 and 11 teams, but 04, 05. The 2000 and 2001 teams were great as well. So there have been some really good teams. 2009, team that got swept out of the NLDS, had two of the top three Cy Young finishers in the rotation and still got swept. And then this team just doesn't have it. And so it's the same kind of thing as last year, which I think, unfortunately, and again, it's a tough thing from a sports talk radio standpoint, a discussion standpoint, because I really don't see an enemy. I really don't necessarily see a mistake right now. Now, if you want to widen your perspective, you can take a look at why the organization is kind of in this purgatory. But they're just kind of average, and there's not a whole lot that at this moment can be done. And so I don't really know what the quick fix is on it either. You know, the attempt, and I still, the Fowler signing to me is something that was so against what they had done to have this run of success, and it surprised me. And I feel like they were feeling pressure from the outside, and so they were going to make sure they got the guy, but the guy wasn't necessarily worth being the guy. He was the byproduct of an absence of a great amount of talent in the offseason. And then to overcommit to it, that sets the stage for problems down the road. Same thing to an extent, it's not a prisoner of the moment comment because I've been critical of the deal before, Mike Leake. They didn't get the guy, and so then they had to fall back on an innings eater, plus you had the Lance Lynn injury. And so then you overcommit to that, and now you're stuck with that, much less doing business, I think, emotionally, with the Molina contract, the Wainwright contract. I realize it's almost over, but you get stuck with these things and you can't really make a move from purgatory because you're already committing a significant portion of your payroll to a handful of players, most of whom, I think people would agree, are not providing proper return. And so it's a difficult spot.
And
but I don't know.
And now they're faced with probably wanting to pony up money to save Lance Lynn, keep him here, who's probably more valuable than any of the guys that they've given big money to over the last couple of years. I don't know if they'll have enough left to give him.
I don't even get the sense, and this is not from a, hey, I talked with so-and-so, and I can't tell you who, but it is a source. I haven't had any of those conversations. I just don't get the sense at all that they are interested in bringing Lance Lynn back. There's a track record because we have baseline behavior. John Mozeliak's been with this organization, hell, back when I was in Little Rock, Mozeliak was with the Cardinals. So you have a baseline behavior of how the organization handles re-signing players. And if they're interested in re-signing a player, very rarely do they let that player get to free agency. Very rarely. With Pujols, who I guess Bill DeWitt Jr. was interested in keeping, I guess, I'm surprised, but I guess he was. Pujols said, if it's not done by the end of spring training, I'm done talking about it. And so they were in that spot. But in this case, Lynn's just floating toward free agency. And I think it's just kind of an understood, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Kyle Loesch was in the same spot. And even though you kind of look back and go, God, Kyle Loesch, I mean, that's like a number four starter. He was coming off of a great 2012 when he was hitting free agency. And there were just no conversations. It was the same thing with Matheny, for example. It was obvious Matheny was done, but I remember talking to Mike Matheny. Obviously, he was still a player, and we were, I guess, texting. I don't know if you were texting back in 2004, 2005, and I said, "Have you heard anything of the Cardinals?" He goes, "No. Have you heard anything about what's going on?" And I go, "My God, you're asking me." You know, they just cut you off, and so I would imagine based on that past behavior, it would be an indicator of what they're planning on doing with Lance Lynn, which is letting him go. Whether we agree with it or not, that's what I'm saying. I think it's what's going to happen.
He has said that if he doesn't, if he hits free agency, it would be hard for him to come back here, even if the Cardinals did want him, because there's going to be money out there. I mean, he's going to get the man's only increasing his stock. Well, he's 4-1 since July with a 1.65 ERA. That's second best among starters, guys who've started more than five games. You know, Leake is down there at the bottom of the list. That's actually why I was looking that up, because I wanted to see where Leake was, and Lance is right behind Gio Gonzalez for the Nationals. I mean, he's only helping his stock, and I think he wants to see what's out there. Gets his first bite at free agency. Why wouldn't you want to see what's out there? It's not. I don't think Lance is has really made it. You know, seem like he's not the kind of guy who wants to go explore and wouldn't be intrigued by the opportunity of playing somewhere else. I mean, that's pretty well known about Lance. Not that he doesn't like it here, and I think the Cardinals are going to miss him when he does go, because he provides a bit of that bite and that some of that edge that they need and lack. I mean, not everybody can be buddy-buddy and throw their arm around each other. You need some agitators in the room, and Lance is that guy. So there's a twofold reason for keeping him, but I think he might be at the spot now where he's going to be too expensive for the Cardinals.
You're 40 days away from being a free agent. I mean, and that's what, eight starts, ballpark.
Yeah,
away from
test that.
Yeah, can't
and
blame
he's been,
him.
He's been their best pitcher. He's their best pitcher.
He is right now. You're right.
I saw the stat where he's had 19 games this year where he's given up two runs or less, and that's the most in the major leagues, I believe. That's ace quality pitcher.
And he's coming back off of Tommy John, so he should. I mean, a lot of guys are even better that second year back.
Yeah.
Timmy, just curious, what would you have done? What would you have done if you didn't agree with the Fowler, Leak, and Peralta signings? Not signed them?
That would be the other option.
Not sign them. But it's a tough spot because there's an expectation, and understandably so, from the fan base that they are going to be competitive every year. And there is an unspoken, Derek Gould wrote about this, verbal covenant of some form, if you can have an unspoken verbal covenant, that there's going to be 3+ million fans coming through the turnstiles. And so therefore the organization has this unspoken covenant that they will try to contend every year. But what I'm saying is I think it's in the best interest for the Cardinals' probability of a world championship. I'm not talking about necessarily being competitive in order to ideally rebuild, but they can't. And I understand why they can't, which is why I wasn't screaming at the trade deadline. The best thing that could have happened in the month of July was they took off and went on the run that they wound up going on after July 31st, or fallen apart. Instead, they just kind of hovered. And so then the organization wasn't really in a position to buy or sell. I would have been disappointed if they bought. And I don't even think that was probably even on the radar. But they just couldn't say that. I think what they were really debating is, do we sell? And how can you look at the fan base when you're a couple games out of first and go, we're trading away key players? I get that. That's why I'm saying I can't FS1 it and scream and yell about something that I truly don't necessarily believe. We got a break. We're past the 9 o'clock break. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After.